Hello and welcome to the final bonus episode of the Loki podcast, at least for now. I'm Annie, your host, and today I am, of course, talking about the final episode of Loki Season 1. You know, I actually had a really difficult time coming up with an outline for this episode of the podcast, mainly because I don't have that much to say about the episode itself. Which might actually be a first. I mean, all I do is have opinions about Loki, so it's pretty surprising to me that I don't have many on this. Unfortunately, I just feel like not much happened this episode. And so when I was thinking about what I actually want to talk about today, I realized I was going to have to discuss why I personally found this episode kind of disappointing. But before I really get into that, I just want to make a couple of notes. First off, I am not a critic, I've never been a critic. My approach to this podcast has never been to tell you whether something is good or bad. I'm not really interested in doing that generally. In fact, my approach is roughly the same whether I'm talking about a superhero movie that came out last year, or a piece of Old Norse literature that's been around for literal centuries. Generally speaking, I'm interested in taking a piece of media for what it is, reading it in good faith, and then coming up with some kind of useful analysis. I don't really like to pass judgments of quality, but I feel like for this episode I just kind of have to. I will still mostly be trying to analyze, but I don't feel like I can do that without passing some kind of judgment. So if this episode feels just a little bit different, that's probably why. The other thing I wanted to say is that I am not claiming to be any kind of authority when it comes to Marvel movies. I've recently been getting a lot of, sometimes quite aggressive emails telling me that my theories are wrong, that I don't know what I'm talking about, that I didn't even watch the episode, and all of that kind of stuff. And I do realize that weighing in with my opinion on an episode that has been so controversial is likely to invite more of that kind of response. And so I just want to make it really clear at this point that you are allowed to disagree with me. In fact, I actively encourage that. My opinion is not worth any more than yours because I'm saying it into a microphone rather than typing it up and putting it on social media. But you guys, please just be nice about it. It's incredibly discouraging to look at an inbox full of vitriol when you could have just had a nice conversation about it. So I realize that this has just been a whole lot of chatter about anything but the subject at hand. I just wanted to remind you that I am just another person on the internet with opinions, just like the rest of you. So, Loki Episode 6, For All Time Always. Now, I really did try and get my teeth into this and draw out some of what was going on with this plot, but I realized on a second watch through that there isn't a lot of plot happening. If you broke down this episode to its bare-bone components, you would essentially have a long walk down a corridor and then a conversation. That isn't to say that there is no action in this episode. The fight between Loki and Sylvie did look really cool. But if you really pay attention to the scene changes, you'll notice that there are huge chunks of unbroken dialogue. Even though the advice to show, not tell, is a cliche and should be taken with a pinch of salt, this episode definitely did way too much telling. It was very exposition heavy, which in my opinion is really not what you want for a season finale. I think this is potentially a problem that arises from having a big villain reveal in the final episode. You're essentially introducing a new main character in the last 30 minutes of action, and having to explain that alongside explaining what's going on with the TVA really just makes the pacing of the episode grind to a halt. Now, I'm not saying that villain reveals are universally bad. In fact, that's a trope that the superhero genre kind of lives off. And arguably, other Marvel media does it really well. I would argue that the first season of Jessica Jones does it, as does Iron Man 3, depending on who you ask. But the difference with those is that we do know something about these villains before we get to the very end. That means that we feel more like the reveal has been built up to, and also we already have the requisite information to understand what the reveal even is. Honestly, when He Who Remains first appears on screen, it just doesn't hit as hard as it could because there's been no build-up to this. I have no idea who this guy is. Naturally, this has been interpreted as that Kang reveal that a lot of people saw coming. And there was kind of a build-up to that. We see a lot of figures that are associated with Kang in the comics, such as Ravona Renslayer, as well as Eliath. But again, that's only really a build-up if you know the comics. And also, this guy is not confirmed to be Kang on screen. I don't know, I just feel like mostly this TV show did a really good job of paying homage to the comics, without becoming inexplicable to people who haven't read the comics. And so I feel like this Kang reveal was ultimately kind of underwhelming. And I do want to say here that I did very much enjoy the character of He Who Remains. He was a lot of fun to watch on screen, but I do wonder if he was the right choice of character for this moment in the TV show. In a final episode that is so dialogue and exposition heavy, I just wonder if we maybe wanted a bigger character here. A touch more superhero campiness might have helped this ending not fall flat. As is, I just feel like there isn't any sense of drama here. And look, I'm not averse to subtle endings, but I don't think this is subtle necessarily. It just kind of fizzles out. That isn't just an issue with the character of He Who Remains, though. Let's think for a moment about what actually happens in the end. Sylvie kills He Who Remains, and so the timeline is set free, hence the multiverse comes into existence. But what are the actual ramifications of that? Even on the small scale, within the TVA, it isn't really clear. We do get a few glimpses of what's going on in the TVA while Loki and Sylvie talk to He Who Remains, but it doesn't tell us very much. So now we know that Ravona Renslayer is a variant, just like all of the other TVA employees. She then leaves to go somewhere, no one knows where. Then we find out that Loki has ended up at a version of the TVA where Mobius doesn't know him. And that's pretty much it. We don't know what effect this has had on the rest of the universe, the timeline, and other universes. We've also been told that there's a whole bunch of evil Kang variants on the way, but we don't see them, we don't really know what the deal with that is. I think what I'm getting at here is that I would have liked to see some of the practical ramifications of the freeing of the timeline. Right now, I'm not even sure whether this is meant to be a victory or a defeat. And again, ambivalent endings can work, but I kind of feel like we've just been left in suspended animation. We're offered absolutely no closure on the events of this TV show. And on that note, I'm not exactly sure what I expected, because this is such a Marvel way of telling a story. What does it matter if we've been left on a cliffhanger if we know that there's going to be a Loki season 2? And it's also implied that we'll probably get some answers in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, or even Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. But this endless interconnectivity of the MCU kind of excludes the possibility of a satisfying ending. How can an ending possibly look back to what's already happened when it's constantly trying to look forward to the next thing? Loki season 1 doesn't have to explain what the ramifications of freeing the timeline are, because we'll see them in Multiverse of Madness. And even if Kang doesn't make sense as a villain for this TV show, it's at least setting him up as a potential villain for future movies. But I would have really liked to see Loki season 1 as a solid narrative in itself, rather than just a prologue to Marvel's next big project. And at this point, I am being a little bit unfair. It does have a lot going for it as a story in itself. And also, again, what did I expect? This is a Marvel story through and through. There are also a number of things that I did find genuinely interesting. For example, the villain reveal, or at least what I've been calling the villain reveal. He Who Remains is not exactly a red herring villain like we might say of the Mandarin in Iron Man 3. He is who we've been told he is. He's the guy who's controlling the whole timeline. But he is also a lot less threatening and a lot less malicious than you might have assumed. Also, the final battle of the series is not between Loki and the big bad, between Loki and He Who Remains, but between Loki and Sylvie. Now, I'm not saying exactly that Sylvie is the villain. I'm saying that there is a lot of moral ambiguity going on here. which is pretty much what I would want and expect from a Loki TV series. Now, you might remember that about 5 minutes ago, I criticized this show for not framing this as either a victory or a failure, and I stand by that point. But in terms of Sylvie's character, it is very interesting. What this episode really seems to say about Sylvie is that at her core, she is every bit the Loki variant as TVA Loki or President Loki or any of the Lokis. And there's been this idea that she is separate, that she's different, better somehow maybe. But in this moment, she proves herself just as capable of lying and deceiving and killing. Sylvie is essentially a Loki. And more than that, she's yet to go through an important bit of character development that our protagonist Loki already has. That is, she still believes strongly in the idea of glorious purpose. Sylvie has dedicated her whole life to taking out the TVA and the Timekeepers. And absolutely nothing is going to stop her from doing exactly what she set out to do. Not even moral considerations or the consequences of her own actions. She betrays TVA Loki and then kills Kang. And I think it's very interesting that afterwards she doesn't seem that pleased about it. This final episode essentially sees Sylvie going through much the same process that Loki did in the first one, albeit in a slightly less controlled environment. In episode 1, Loki is led to see the futility in his own glorious purpose. Not only does that path lead to his own death, it also ultimately won't make him happy. If you remember back to episode 1, Mobius asks Loki what happens after he's conquered Midgard. Does he just keep going? Does he conquer space? At what point is he satisfied with his conquest? And Loki actually doesn't answer the question. He quite pointedly avoids it. And you know, this idea has actually come up in relation to Loki's character before. In Thor: The Dark World, Loki states that satisfaction is not in his nature. And I think there's a certain truth to that that resonates here. What exactly would it take to make Loki happy? And so to return to Sylvie, she doesn't get to have that realization before the point where she has to sit there and process her own actions, and to deal with the fact that doing what she set out to do didn't make her happy. I do think that Sylvie really was the centerpiece of this episode. She's the only one who really had an interesting character arc. I will say now that that isn't a criticism, though I can see why people might be unhappy about it. I think it is interesting because it reflects something of Loki's character. This is what would happen to Loki and his whole glorious purpose if his life had played out differently and different pressures were applied. All the same, I would have liked to see more of our kind of protagonist Loki. But again, there's a season 2 for that, so I'm not all that bothered. You know, I almost feel bad cutting this episode off here because I do realize I've mostly just been very critical. But as I said, I don't actually have that much to say, and I'm kind of looking forward to wrapping up this whole bonus episode series for now. As much as it's been a lot of fun putting out content on a weekly basis, I'm quite ready to have a little bit of a break from that. I have actually really enjoyed living in this whole Loki TV show mindset for the last 6 weeks, and I hope you guys have enjoyed hearing my opinions on it. As always, if you feel the need to agree with me, or disagree with me, or just say hi, you can always get in contact with me at Loki Podcast on Twitter, Tumblr, or Instagram, or you can email me at thelokipodcast@gmail.com. And remember, be nice. The regular Loki Podcast episodes will still be happening on a bi-weekly basis, so I'll see you next time.